In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. If you were asked this question, are you happy? What would you answer? I know that we don't ask this question because it's a sensitive question. It's a personal question, and sometimes we know the answer. And we shouldn't ask this question, but really, as Christians, excuse me, what would our answer be? Because I think it's one of the greatest way to witness to Christ. This is actually what would Christians should be. People who are joyful. People who are rejoicing. They're happy. Are they? Are we? And the question is why? Some people would say, when I get married, I'll be happy. Oh yeah? I hope so. Or when I have kids. Another good one. Some parents I know, very, very good friends of mine, they say, when my kids leave home, I'll be happy. Well, if life has to be problem-free for me to be happy, I will never be happy, I think. Because life will never be problem-free. Maybe there are things going on now. Maybe you just got out of a problem. Maybe you're getting into another problem and you don't know. And this is life. And this is normal. Believe it or not, God wants you to be happy. Or if I want to say it in a biblical term, or the right word is, God wants you to have joy or to rejoice from inside, regardless of your circumstances. And that's not being insensitive. No. And I'll tell you how that is. For example, the church today says today is a joyful day. Why? We celebrate three feasts. You think we're celebrating 4th of July. We did celebrate 4th of July, but that's not, we have a joyful tune. We have a joyful tune today, and it's a joyful event because we celebrate the three feasts every the end of every Coptic month, the 29th of every Coptic month. We celebrate the feast of Nativity of the Lord, the Annunciation of the angel to Saint Mary that the gospel was read, and actually the resurrection of the Lord. We celebrate these three feasts every 29th of the Coptic month. And that day the church says, today is a joyful day. Joyful tunes. And it's a happy occasion. And it's a day of rejoicing. Some seasons in the church, regardless of what's going on, it's going to be joyful events, like the Holy 50. Going to be joyful tunes. Even if you have a funeral, same thing. I remember over 20 years ago, my father's funeral was during the Holy 50. And of course, for me being a deacon, I understand exactly every hymn they're saying. I was kind of bothered by that. Is that insensitive of our feelings? Why shouldn't be sad? But I figured out later on that no, it's actually if you focus on the sadness, what's gonna happen to the sadness? It's just gonna grow. God doesn't want you to be sad. God wants you to be joyful and to focus on that, to focus on Him, to focus on His resurrection. Not on your death, to focus on His victory, not on your defeat, on His power, not on your weakness, and so on. That is the purpose. And actually, every day we have a feast like this in the church, it's a good opportunity for us to talk about this. And it's a fact that the church and God wants us to be joyful. no matter what, regardless. Maybe some people are going through very, very tough problems these days. Maybe some of us are really stressed out, not in the mood of rejoicing today. It doesn't matter. That's why we're here, to change that mood, to change that attitude, to change that thinking, regardless of what it is and regardless what the problem is. Could be something really big and consuming you and consuming your thinking. Still, God wants you to get out of that and to rejoice. But how is that? How? That's the million-dollar question. How is that? Can we really rejoice in tough times? Is it possible? Did anyone did it before? Yes. A lot of people did. And we can. And our role model today is going to be St. Paul, the apostle. St. Paul wrote an epistle, and it's a very famous epistle, and it's called the Epistle of Joy. And it's the epistle of the Philippians, or the epistle to the Philippians. It's only 4 chapters. Okay, and I really encourage you when you go home to read it. And I actually quoted for you here 4 verses only from this epistle. Philippians 4:4-8. If you have your outline, you're going to find it there in your outline. Philippians 4:4-8. But before I read you these verses, I just want to tell you what was the situation behind this epistle. St. Paul was not in the Bahamas when he wrote this. He wasn't. He wasn't in Ocean City or Virginia Beach. And he wasn't relaxing. He wasn't in any event. He wasn't even having a normal day or a normal life. He was actually in prison, and in a very bad prison. And I'll actually tell you later on the details of the prison that he was at. But he wrote the Epistle of Joy from that prison. In four chapters, he repeated the word joy and rejoice 16 times in 4 chapters. I really encourage you to go and read this epistle. This is something that we will learn, and we will keep learning. I will be a liar if I tell you that every sad event that I have, I'm very joyful and I'm upbeat. No, I'll be a liar to tell you that. But I'm trying. I've gotten better at it. If you ask people around me, I used to be terrible, have terrible moods, you know. This day, don't talk to him. Just get away from him, okay? And you better not confess on these days, okay? I think it got better. You can ask Abuna Anthony behind my back, and maybe he's going to tell you, yeah, he's gotten a little bit better about it. But it's something that we learn. Something that we learn. And we grow in that. Okay? So these are the 4 verses, and these are actually my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Where he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Hear what it is. When people see you joyful, that is witnessing to Christ. It's a big thing. Let your gentleness be known to all men. It's very important. The Lord is at hand or near. Be anxious for nothing, no anxiety, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. 4 things I'm going to tell you, the key of rejoicing regardless of our situation or what's going on. Number 1, he said, rejoice in the Lord. The key word here is in the Lord. It's not you're going to rejoice in a bad situation. You're not going to look at something bad or evil and say, maybe this is good. No, we're not going to make the bad good. And we're not just trying to be optimistic or positive or anything like this. Our rejoicing is not in the situation. The situation is bad. St. Paul didn't want to be in the prison. Prison is not good. Bad staying, bad food, bad this. It's bad. It's not good. He doesn't like this. He can't say that prison is good. His rejoicing is not in the prison. No, his rejoicing is in the Lord himself. That is the key word. Let me tell you a secret. A lot of times, our joy is affected by people around us. Meaning, if you're around people who are still don't have this word in English, so I'm going to say it in Arabic. Nikadiyin. Nikadi. بيحب النكد. Depressed people. People who are down. People who are negative by nature. Everything they utter is negative. No good words coming out of their mouth. If you spend long time with these people every day, what you're going to feel in the end of the day? You want to kill yourself. You hate your life and you hate everything around you. You know, that's normal. If you're really like interacting with these people for hours and hours every single day, that's going to be your attitude. It will depend absolutely on that. Who is really around you in a tough time? Usually, people. And usually, not the right people. Whoever is available. Whoever can give advice. Whoever can give company. But that's not good. That's not what I need. Who is the best person with the best attitude that can be with me and around me during tough time? It's only one person. It's the Lord himself. You rejoice because he is with you. We say that in Psalm 16. In your presence, Lord, there is fullness of joy. In your presence, Lord, there is fullness of joy. I didn't put this verse in your outline. Maybe you put it. It's the last verse in Psalm 16. Go get it out. Psalm 16. In your presence, Lord, fullness of joy. Then our rejoicing is not because of the prison and not because the soldiers around me are funny and they're saying jokes all the time. No, because God is with me. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. I feel him. I feel that he is there. Not that I feel him. I know that he is with me. Just this fact make me rejoice regardless of the situation. That's what David says. Even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. It's enough that you're with me. That's all what I need. When I rejoice in the Lord, I rejoice in his forgiveness. Why are we celebrating a feast today? Because without these three feasts, no forgiveness of sins. We would be guilty. We'd be living in sin. We'll be living in sadness. But thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his love, ultimate love that brought him all the way down here in order to forgive us and in order to give us his salvation. We're rejoicing in the eternal life. Because it's not only what I see here, but even the tough time that I spend here, it's weighing eternal glory. That's what we know. That the little tough time that we have here, it's very light and it's very temporal, but it's weighing eternal glory in the end. I rejoice in that. Why the apostles were rejoicing when they were beaten up for the name of Christ? They know because Jesus told them. He told them, blessed are you when they persecute you and when they say all these things about you. Rejoice and be glad because your reward is great in heaven. They're rejoicing because of the reward. Because he promised that. Because he said that. A lot of times what we see is what in front of me right now. How about the eternal glory? I'm living for that. When I rejoice in the Lord, in his promises, in his power, in his love. I'll give you something from personal experience so you don't feel that I'm just preaching you. A lot of times I feel down. Human being, right? I try to cover it up, but I'm not good at this, so a lot of you may notice that. You know, he's not very well today. But don't be mistaken. A lot of times I look sad, but I'm not sad. I'm just tired. When I'm tired, I look sad, but I'm very happy. Okay? So, but sometimes there is way from inside, something that's heavy. And usually, it's the sins of certain people. Or my sins, of course. But when I feel like this is the thing that weighs hard on my heart. Someone is just doing something really bad and expecting something terrible to happen to him and or to his family or something like this. I'm just sad of the evil that's taken over. So I'm just weighed down. So nothing can get me out of this except one thing, I promise you. Only one thing can get me out of this. And it is praises. Whether it's midnight praises, or when I do praises, or when I listen to praises for a long time. Not for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, not even half an hour. But when I spend 1 good hour, 2 hours in praises, I promise you, 100% of the time I get out really, really, really lifted up. And I feel the victory of God. And I feel the power of God. And I feel the love of God. And I feel the wisdom of God. I know it because of the praises that I was just experienced. Why? Because during praises, not only I'm in God's presence, but I'm really focusing on Him. Try this. Try this. As I said, never, not even one time that I did it and I left, oh, the same thing. No way. No way. 3 things that I usually get from praises, and I put it here for you. The love of God, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And I put you just three verses to remember. The love of God is whenever you don't feel really that God loves you, that he has something good for you. Just remember this verse in Romans 8:32, where he said, He who did not spare his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Basically, if God offered his son for you, how can he spare anything else? He did not spare his own son. How would he spare anything good that he wouldn't give to you? If you feel that God is depriving you from something, if God is not really giving you, just read this, Romans 8:32. No, his love is ultimate. There isn't anything better than what God already did that he will do. Better than the sacrifice of his only begotten son. There isn't anything better or stronger that he will do. And the power of God. St. Paul said it in this epistle in same chapter 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We all know this verse, but do we believe it? Not only that God is powerful, but God gives me that power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me give you an exercise. Once you're down and tired and physically strained and don't have any energy, and you want to do something, or maybe psychologically you're down and you want to do something, but you don't have the power to do it or the will. If you repeat this verse 100 times, no way, you won't have power. Hopefully you will believe it after 100 times. But repeat it over and over. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because a lot of times, the devil tells you, you can't. And I'm sad because I can't. Because nothing is in my hand. Because I'm not in control. No, he is in control. He is in power. And he can give me the power, but he will give me the power. I can do all things. Not big things. Not some things. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's through him, not through me, not through my weakness. I know I'm weak, but he's powerful. I know I can, but he can, and he can do it through me. That gives you power to do what you cannot do. And the last word that I always get when I praise God is the wisdom of God. And of course, the very famous verse of Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God. And we know that all things work together for the good. I'm sure it's going to turn into good in the end. I'm sure 100%. I know that God loves me, and I know that I love him. All of us, we love God. That's why we're here. Do we sin? Yes, we do. Do we disobey? Yes, we disobey. But that doesn't mean we don't love him. We love him. We try harder and harder to do better, but that doesn't mean that we don't love him. We believe in him. So I know that in the end, it's going to turn for the good, for the better. That's what I get when I praise God. I become in his presence, and when I'm in his presence, I'm lifted up. Rejoice in the Lord. Teach yourself how to rejoice in him, not in yourself, not in your accomplishment, not in other people, not in your circumstances, but in him. Second point is attitude of gratitude. The attitude of being thankful always. This might take you some time to get used to it. To give thanks to God all the time for everything. The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things. All things. Good, bad, we thank God. After we eat, before we eat, when we walk, when we have a flat tire, when we go good, we thank him all the time. Giving thanks always for all things. It's a funny word. A good sentence they say to children. A thankful heart is a happy heart. We teach that to kids. Sometimes we need to be taught of that. A thankful heart is a happy heart. It's when you give thanks, you will rejoice. It's when you give thanks, you will be happy. We usually give thanks when we are already happy. When I feel happy, I give thanks. No, it doesn't work this way. It's when you give thanks, you will be happy. And you will rejoice. You will rejoice in him. It takes time. But this is something you learn. Let me tell you this verse that St. Paul said in the same epistle. It's one of the secrets of his rejoicing. He said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty.